Hello, and welcome to One-on-One with LAPA, the Legislative Analysis and Public Policy Association's podcast series, where experts discuss key issues and emerging topics in the areas of public health and safety, substance use disorders, and the criminal justice system. LAPA is funded by a grant from the Office of National Drug Control Policy, Executive Office of the President. Neither the Office of National Drug Control Policy nor any other federal instrumentality operate, control, or are responsible for or necessarily endorse this podcast. I'm Stephanie Noblett, a legislative attorney with LAPA and your host for today's podcast on overdose fatality reviews, also referred to as OFRs. My guests today are Melissa Heinen, a senior research associate at the Institute for Intergovernmental Research, and Dr. Mallory O'Brien, the lead subject matter expert for OFRs for the CDC and the National Institute of Justice. I'm happy to introduce both of them here today. So hello to Mallory and Melissa. Thank you for joining me today. I'm excited to have you.
Thank you for having us, Stephanie. We're excited to be here too.
Of course. So we're going to dive right in talking about OFRs. So Mallory, can you talk a little bit about what overdose fatality reviews are and what role they play in addressing the substance use crisis?
Overdose fatality reviews are a method of convening stakeholders to look at aggregate level data on what we know about overdose, and then allows us to do some in-depth case reviews that provides context to that aggregate level information. Through the process, you bring multiple stakeholders to the table. You talk about specific cases with the idea of looking at system change, looking for intervention, prevention opportunities that can lead to policy change. So the goal of an overdose fatality review is to ultimately prevent the next case that's similar by identifying unique opportunities for intervention and prevention.
Thank you for that. So I think OFRs are so compelling for two reasons. I think one, because we're taking this really tragic event and trying to use it in a way that we can kind of make something good come out of it, or, you know, prevent a future death. And I think that's really important. And I also like how with OFRs, we're bringing together so many different people from so many different disciplines and areas coming together to kind of work towards this common goal in improving the safety of the community. Do either of you want to talk about who is on the OFR teams?
Your OFR team should have representation from key stakeholders in your community where the individual lived and died. So you're going to want to make sure that you have public health, behavioral health, law enforcement, community corrections, emergency response services, such as EMS, fire. You will also want to have other services that the individual may have had touch points with or would have benefited from having touch points with. You may have housing services, substance use treatment providers, mental health providers, community corrections. So you really want to bring a group of people together that will be able to tell as complete of a picture of what the community looks like, the services available, and how that decedent interacted with various services. You could have education system represented. You might have child protective services representative, veterans services represented. Really depends on which cases you're going to review in a specific case.
I think the only other one that is really important, which I know you were thinking, was the medical examiner coroner, because you're going to start there with the information. You're going to want the toxicology. Oftentimes that's where the next of kin is done, is through the medical examiner coroner's office. But I think you hit all of them.
That's a really comprehensive list that you provided, and you can see just from, you know, those handful of people. And of course, you can add even more depending on what's going on in your community, but bringing all of these stakeholders and people all together to the table to really come together and work towards that common goal. And I think it's important to also mention that these people aren't there to assign blame to one another. They're really there to work through what are the gaps in the system and figure out ways to avoid overdose deaths in the future. So the Bureau of Justice Assistance Comprehensive Opioid Stimulant and Substance Abuse Program, or COSAP, has a really extensive toolkit on OFRs, which the two of you have helped build and create. So Melissa, can you discuss some of the ways that COSAP is assisting OFRs throughout the country and some of the resources that are available through COSAP?
Yes, COSAP, one of the training and technical assistance areas that they provide support for is for overdose fatality reviews. And at IIR, Institute for Intergovernmental Research, we are the training and technical assistance provider primarily for overdose fatality reviews. And that portfolio, that platform of work has blended funding or braided funding from CDC and Bureau of Justice Assistance. And so with their support, we are able to provide ongoing training and technical assistance that meets the field's needs. So when I first joined and worked with Mallory and sort of putting together some of the initial things, we were able to take work that Mallory had done in other sort of fatality reviews from homicide to overdose and really build on that experience level and put together the practitioner's guide for implementation for overdose fatality reviews. And this really walks people through sort of the key aspects of not only developing, but implementing and sustaining an overdose fatality review. So that goes from how to recruit your OFR team members, how to plan your OFR meetings, how to facilitate your OFR meetings, how to collect overdose fatality review data, and then how to build a recommendation plan. And with these sort of building blocks of instruction also came examples and resources for people to take those templates and make them local. And with this initial practitioner's guide, we were able to then transfer it into an online platform. So we have the online toolkit. And with that, we are able to consistently expand and update those resources available. So if people were to go to the OFR online toolkit, they will see that we are not only including the samples and templates that we had in the practitioner's guide, but we're starting to gather tools and examples from the field and from other agencies and federal agencies. So that is an ever-growing area for people to get access to what they need at their local site to do OFR implementation. In addition to that, we also were able to build out some tools related to data collection. And so we have online, we have an OFR data system user guide that walks you through how to use all the different aspects of the OFR data system, which include the OFR data system guidance document, which walks through all the variables and the responses and the definitions and the guidance for how to use those. And that was built by a whole group of experienced OFR facilitators, epidemiologists, academics, researchers, and people at CDC and BJA. And we were able to convene that initial group to work on it in August of 2019. And so spent about a year or so developing the guidance and sort of what we wanted that data system to look like. And now we have the OFR data system built in REDCap. So people can access this data system by registering through our online toolkit platform, and they can access this free to use with support, training and technical support, as well as REDCap installation support, use this data system to collect and store and analyze their overdose fatality review data. The beauty of the OFR data system is that it was built in REDCap, which is a free online sort of access data system that institutions can go and register and install locally on a server. A lot of health departments we know have this, and they can use it. It's just a software package like Excel or Access or something like that, but it's able to do a lot more and it's very robust. And so we developed the OFR data system to be used within REDCap. And people, if they have more questions or want to access that, can go online to our online toolkit and register as what we call pilot site for this first year, because we will be updating the data system based on users' experience. In addition to these really two big pieces, the toolkit online that was based off the practitioner's guide and the data system, we also have ongoing sort of training and technical assistance support opportunities. We have an email exchange where people can post questions for their peers and hear how other OFRs are addressing whatever issues they have. We have a community of practice monthly call series where OFRs can send a representative to learn more about how the field is evolving and what tools are available. We have mentor sites. So an OFR can just do a quick online application or form to request to do a virtual site visit to one of our more experienced BJA peer mentor sites. We also have ongoing webinars and access to archived webinars, as well as our recent national forum on overdose fatality review, which has 23 sessions of content that people can access the recording for and the related materials. And then lastly, what we don't have, we need to know we need. So people can access and request specific information or more support by using our online training and technical assistance request portal. So they just go in and they submit a question or a request, and then we work with OFR teams across the country or other professionals and subject matter experts, and we try to meet the need either by developing a new tool or connecting them to an existing resource so they can get their questions answered.
I think it's important too for people to know that training and technical assistance, it was decided by the federal partners that we should have one training and technical assistance for overdose fatality reviews, one place to go. And so the CDC and BJA have come together on the training and technical assistance for overdose fatality reviews. There's one place to request that, and it's available to anybody. But I think that that's one of the really exciting things about overdose fatality reviews is that there is this excitement and partnership at the federal level in every aspect of OFRs. And so if someone is interested in getting training or technical assistance, they want to go to the cosapresource.org. And there you will find all of the OFR tool, the toolkit, the data collection tool that Melissa mentioned, and you can make your TA request. And if the TA request is something that one of our peers could answer, it will be triaged to one of the peers. If it's a question that involves legislation, we'll kick it over to you so that we actually use all of the resources available to respond to those TA requests.
So there's an ongoing, always evolving, constant list of to-dos for us to meet, you know, make sure we're meeting the needs of the community. So they can get it directly by going to cosapresources.org/tools/OFR. And they will see all the information that Mallory said, and to visit often because we are updating that site as we learn more from the field.
And the other thing I know you mentioned, but is there an email address they should send something to if they want to get on the email exchange?
So if people are interested in joining the OFR email exchange, they can sign up by sending an email to cosap@iir.com. So cosap@iir.com.
That sounds like a really comprehensive toolkit that you have put together on the website. And it's amazing that all of this is out there and available for teams and even prospective teams for free, you know, because I think starting an OFR team, especially in certain local communities, can be a really daunting task at first. So it's great that all these resources are available in order to help people start to, you know, have the conversation and get feet on the ground and start moving.
One thing I forgot to mention is all these resources are available to OFRs regardless of their funding source mm-hmm. or their level of implementation. So it's available to everyone.
Just to take it one step further, one thing that I just want to further explain is that it's been created for a continuum of OFRs. So whether you're a brand new OFR, there's tons of things that are available to you. And if you're a more experienced OFR, there are still a ton of resources for you. And there will be new resources coming online soon.
That's great. So one thing that I know that has been added kind of to the toolkit is a new resource, and this is where LAPA kind of comes in. LAPA just recently released one of our newer model laws called the Model Overdose Fatality Review Teams Act, which both of you have contributed to and helped create, which LAPA is so thankful for, and we're really happy about this new model. Mallory, can you talk a little bit about how legislation related to OFRs can potentially change the OFR landscape?
Oh, absolutely. And I have to say, when we first started having this conversation with LAPA, when you were working on the model law for ODMAP, LAPA said, we would love to help you with this. I was just elated because the one thing that we keep hearing again and again from sites is we're having trouble with information sharing, or we want a law, but where do we start? And people were going to look at Maryland's law, and Maryland's law, and I did the same thing in Wisconsin. I went to Maryland's law and started creating legislation for Wisconsin, but it's a process and I'm not a lawyer, right? So to have you all take the lead and help with that model law is just, that alone is going to help, I think, move the OFR community leaps and bounds from where they currently are, because many states are wanting to figure out how to get the law in place or a variation of what you've created in place. My recollection, and I might be wrong, but I think there are 12 states right now that have legislation.
Yeah, I believe it's around 12.
And so to be able to take this and start here as opposed to starting from scratch, I think is going to be really important. And why is it so valuable? It's valuable because the way you've set it up, I love the way you've set it up, because you've set it up so you've got two audiences. You've got an audience, which is a layperson like me, who, like, this is not my first job. And then you've got it set up for somebody who's more on the legislative legal side. And so I think it's really helpful that you've got it for both audiences. I think it's going to be really valuable to the field, because they're going to be able to take this model law and try and get it passed in their own state. The way you've laid it out, it states who should be in the room, how you should set up your governance structure, what are the issues with discovery, whether or not you have a fiscal note associated with the legislation. You guys covered everything, and then you gave a little explanation about why or why not you did something. So I think that if, like today, I would be so happy if I was brand new to this, to be able to take the document, figure out what we need, share it with the legislator that is interested in sponsoring something like this, and just go to town. You just like all of the other tools that we've been trying to create for the community, we're trying to bring them to a place where they don't start from scratch. They start from someplace, which is pretty far along. Like if you think about the practitioner guide, data collection tool, those are heavy lift. The other heavy lift is getting this state legislation in place. And you all have just presented it to people. So I believe that this is just going to move everybody forward much faster. Just had our OFR forum, and we had two sessions which covered OFRs with legislation and OFRs without legislation. I think it's important that we do state that you can still do an overdose fatality review in your community. Even if you do not have legislation, having legislation just makes it easier, because oftentimes people want to say, I can't share that information because of, for all of these legal reasons. And if you have a state law, those disappear. So I think that this is just going to make it a lot easier. The law will make it easier for states to begin to really review the cases and have all of the information that is so valuable in determining the prevention and intervention strategies.
Well, that makes me so happy to hear. I'm glad that we were able to create a document that has so much potential and hopefully will be implemented in many, many states and help so many OFRs get established. Like you had mentioned, Valerie, you can definitely establish an OFR on any level, whether it's the state or community, without legislation. It's certainly possible, but having legislation definitely gives you that leg up and helps to reduce some of those barriers that come up, especially when coming to access of certain confidential information. What can you tell me, or what is your idea of the future of OFRs? What do you envision as OFRs looking like in the future?
You know, I think at the core hope of COSAP and IIR and the OFR training and technical assistance is to make sure that we are able to expand and support new and existing OFRs in whatever capacity that is, and that we can make sure that we're evolving with the field. So one case in point is such as when COVID, the pandemic, sort of became an obvious reality. We pulled together OFRs that were transitioning into the virtual OFR realm and try to put together some tools and resources and a webinar to support teams in transitioning from in-person to virtual OFRs. And so our goal is to really have strong and open communication with OFR teams so that we can support what they need to get across the next sort of goalposts for them, and always be developing and expanding and modifying the tools we have available to them so they can grow and do what they need to do locally. That's kind of a high expectation, but I think we really want to be able to do that so we can have OFRs, we always talk about evolve, right? So they can evolve in either the makeup of their team or what they're able to accomplish. So that's, I think, from a programmatic, how do we support and expand OFRs? That's our initial sort of goal and vision. And then Mallory, I'll pass it to you to talk about outside of the training and technical assistance realm of OFRs.
So Melissa gave a great overview of where programmatically things are going from a training and technical assistance perspective. I think the hope is, and this is what we heard, I think, loud and clear from our federal panel at the OFR forum, is that the community is going to continue to grow, that more and more jurisdictions will be taking on overdose fatality reviews because it is such a great way to build, maintain, and expand public safety and public health partnerships with the purpose of prevention, preventing and intervening in overdose deaths. So I see that, and there's continued support to fund these through the federal agencies that are currently funding them. More and more of the sites we're seeing are actually braiding their funding between the various federal agencies to move and expand these overdose fatality reviews forward. Some states, for example, started with 12 local overdose fatality reviews, and they're now expanding with their braided funding. I think this is just going to be the way of the future for us to really get to those system level changes that we need to get to for overdose prevention. Some of the things that we want to do with the work that we've done so far is to take it to the next level. What we learned, again, I keep going back to the OFR forum, but it was a really educational for everybody, including us, and we do this work every day, is we were able to hear what sites are doing, local jurisdictions are doing as a result of their overdose fatality review process. We were able to listen to recommendations that have been made that have been implemented. Well, take that to the next step. Wouldn't it be awesome if we had a way that we could catalog those and we had a way of sharing those so that if you're jurisdiction A and you can identify that jurisdiction B had the same problem and came up with a solution, again, you don't have to start from ground zero. You can start from what is already known from another community. So being able to create the environment to share lessons learned from each jurisdiction is going to be really important to continue to move the field forward. So I see that OFRs will become stronger. We will see more of them. We will continue to see them grow, and that they will be used as the vehicle for change. And we will do everything that we can to continue to support those activities.
That's great. And I really hope that OFRs do really in the future continue to grow and become this powerful tool for change, as you said, and preventing overdose deaths. I think there's so much potential in these, and we really need to start taking advantage of them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so amazing that the two of you have been able to put together these amazing resources, whether that's the toolkit, the community of practice groups, that there's so much out there to support people. And I think that's just absolutely amazing. So I want to thank Melissa and Mallory for joining us today and providing all this great information on OFRs. We will be including the email to join the OFR mailing list, as well as the links to the toolkit in our summary. So go ahead and check that out if you're interested. And thanks again to them for sharing their time and energy today to join us for our podcast. So that's all the time we have for today. Thank you again to Ms. Heinen and Dr. O'Brien. Please join us for the next one-on-one with LAPA, where we will discuss another interesting topic. In the meantime, if you would like to learn more about overdose fatality reviews or LAPA's Model Overdose Fatality Review Teams Act, you can log on to legislativeanalysis, that's one word, .org, or contact LAPA at info@thelapa.org and search for overdose fatality reviews. Thanks again for joining us.